Let me pray as we come to God's word together. And staff sickness means that I'm both leading and preaching this morning, so I'm sorry to you for that. But let's ask for God's help as we come to it together. Father, we thank you so much for the reading of your word, that you do speak to us in our world. And we thank you for Jesus' teaching here in the Lord's Prayer. Please, Father, help us to understand what he's saying about our world and about how to talk to you. Would it warm our hearts and would we be convinced of your victory? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we come to this final week, I've been looking through this last line of the Lord's Prayer in your Bibles, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And as I've looked at it, I've been slightly surprised, if I'm honest with you. I've been surprised to hear that you and I are at war today. We are at war. Not a physical war like we have here in this picture, but actually a spiritual war. Not a war of missiles and territory, but an invisible war on our hearts. A war of temptations and lies. A war between the spiritual forces of evil in our world. I'm talking about the devil, Satan, demons. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh, Pete's gone a bit off-piste, Steve's away, what is going on? Well, consider this. This spiritual war is not a wacky Christian offshoot. In fact, actually, Jesus chooses, of all the things that he could tell us to pray, he includes this spiritual war in the top 6 or 7 things that he instructs us to pray about in our lives. As I said, in verse 13, he says, lead us not into temptation. Those are the devil's tactics of war. And deliver us from the evil one. Not evil in general. The evil one. We're talking about the devil, our great enemy. And we find it difficult to believe. We live in a society that certainly don't believe it. But Jesus thinks it's one of the top things that we need to pray about. And so before we get to the contents of the verses, we're first going to think and do a bit of background on Satan himself and about what he's doing today, and then we'll get to the prayer. So, here we go. First point, Satan is real. Now, it's not massively surprising, is it, in a 21st century culture that people don't really believe in Satan? But it might surprise you to hear that back in 2016, at YouGov, they did a poll. They polled, I don't know, 8,000 Christians. And they asked them all sorts of questions about belief. And one of the things they asked them was, do you believe in the devil, in the Satan? And it might surprise you to hear that only 1 in 4 Christians believe in the devil of those polled. 1 in 4. More Christians, according to the poll, believe in UFOs and reincarnation than they do the devil. We find it hard to believe. And as a number of writers have commentated, that actually this is kind of one of the devil's greatest tricks to try and convince us that he doesn't exist. I did have a copy of it. I've lost my copy. If you see, I've got a copy of C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters, which between the 9:15 and 10:45 services I've managed to misplace. So if you see it anywhere, oh no, here it is. Yes, I put it in a safe place. It's been a long morning already, sorry. In this book, C.S. Lewis describes an imaginary conversation, but it's potentially quite terrifyingly true, between a senior devil, Screwtape, Uncle Screwtape, and his nephew, Wormwood, kind of a junior devil, senior devil to a junior devil, and he's kind of giving him a bit of training. And in one of the letters, he talks about this, talks about kind of convincing the people that you're trying to lead astray to believe that you don't exist. He says this: the fact that devils are predominantly common figures in the modern imagination will help you. If any faint suspicion of your existence begins to arise in his mind, suggest to him a picture of something in red tights and persuade him that since he cannot believe in that, he therefore cannot believe in you. Isn't this how we often picture the devil? Something a bit like something in red tights, something a bit unbelievable. But the devil, friends, is real. And I don't think he looks like this. In fact, we can't really see him. But actually, there are quite a few things that we can't see and yet we believe in. I believe in radio waves and Wi-Fi, even though I can't see them. We know of their results. And actually, we can believe in the devil because Jesus says it and because we can see his results. You see, even in this prayer, Jesus talks about the evil one. See, our 21st century culture might not be convinced. Even our Christian 21st century culture, one in four. But the Bible and Jesus, they're very clear. Right from beginning to end, right from the Garden of Eden, where Satan tempts Adam and Eve to disobey God, right to the end. In Revelation, as we get a picture of what the future will be like as the devil is thrown into the lake of fire and destroyed. Here, Matthew's gospel, there are tons of evidence and ideas pointing towards the spiritual war and spiritual realities. Jesus, only two chapters before, has spent 40 days in the wilderness being tested by Satan. Later on, Jesus is going to, six times, he's going to cast out demons. He's accused of being a demon himself. He teaches about demons and the devil. Satan enters into Judas later on, and Jesus at one point even identifies Peter at one point as being used by Satan to tempt Jesus himself. Jesus, the gospel writers, the Bible, they are clear. Satan exists. And so I wonder, do we really believe that? I mean, really, do we believe it? Day to day, after we leave this building, will you remember that Satan really exists? You know, if we did believe that, I wonder, wouldn't we talk about it a bit more? I know I don't. You know, when someone comes to you and you're having a bit of a problem, they say, oh, maybe it's a spiritual attack. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes think, really? Is that a bit wacky? Do you know what? The devil would absolutely love it if we thought that. And he would hate it if we thought about him a bit more. He would hate it if we talked about him and more about the reality of the struggles we face. And whether we like it or not, we are in a war. Satan is real. What is he doing? What is he actually doing today? What are the results of his presence in the world? Well, Satan is real, and Satan is roaming. Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This line implies that the devil or Satan, they are real and that he is active. Him and his agents, the demons, they're at work in this world and they fight on in the spiritual battle. And the first line talks about temptation. Temptation, 6 verse 13. And temptation is Satan's big weapon. You know, he's not wielding a rocket launcher. He hasn't got funny drones. No, he's got the lies of temptation. That's what temptation's all about. It's all about lies. And he's been using this weapon ever since the Garden of Eden, as I said, as he's tempted Adam and Eve with lies so that they would turn away from God and disobey him. And it's quite, in one sense, it's quite scary, right? Listen to this verse in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And it's a scary image. You know, I've been to the zoo, I've seen the lions in the zoo, and they are scary. At one point once, not that long ago, I was at the zoo, and this lion basically bounded towards me and kind of like grabbed up at the fence and went, rah! I was slightly stepped back. I was very glad there was a fence in the way between us. But there is a sense in which today, Satan is like a lion prowling around, wanting to catch us out, wanting to tempt us. And in one sense, there is no fence in the way. We can be susceptible to his attacks, and particularly to his lies. Like I said, lies are all what temptation is about. Lies in two ways, right? Temptation works like this. And Satan tempts us by lying about how good sin is and about how there are no consequences. Lies about how good sin is and about no consequences. And to give it a kind of real-world example, take something like this, right? Getting angry with someone. Now, I'm sure none of you, I'm sure this never, ever happens in your house, but occasionally some of us might get angry. Now, and while Satan tempts us in that moment, he tells us lies like this. He says, oh yes, do you know, it'd be good. It would feel really good to be angry and shout. Do you know what? You are right to be angry. You should shout. Do you know what? Actually, maybe it'll help the other person to realize how wrong they are if you shout at them. And the devil convinces us there are no consequences. And he says, look, no, do you know what? God won't punish you. Don't worry. In fact, actually, it might help the situation come to a resolution if you do so. God won't punish you. No, he loves people. Come on. He won't punish those he loves. Judgment, it's not even real. The devil tempts us with these kind of lies. And I don't know about you, but I give in to them. I believe the lies. I get angry. I do shout sometimes, even though I really wish I didn't. Even though I know God's commands to love even my enemies, let alone those I live with. We believe the lies. And it's important to say at this point, I choose to believe those lies, okay? I am responsible. We are responsible when we give in to Satan's lies. We can't say, well, do you know, it's not really my fault. Satan tempt me. You know, it's not me. No, we are responsible. We have the choice to choose to listen to his lies or to ignore them and reject them. There are so many areas, right? Being angry, it's just one area. There's so many areas the devil tries to tempt us. Maybe that's about money, or about status, or about how we look, or how we think we don't look, or our relationships, or pornography, or food, or luxury, or suffering, or false teaching. Yeah, the list could be huge. And the question we need to ask ourselves, when we realize that something's not going quite right, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what lies am I listening to? That's the key question. What lies am I listening to about how good this apparently is and about the lack of consequences? What lies am I listening to? Because Satan is real, and he's roaming around, trying to tempt us, trying to draw us away from God. But what hope there is there, then, in this spiritual warfare with this lion roaming around? Well, there's brilliant, great hope. And one of the first things we can do is ask God for his help. The Satan is real, Satan is roaming, so we need to ask God for help. And here we have the words that we need to use in the last line of the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it is the last line, actually, it's just worth saying. When we pray the Lord's Prayer week by week, we do that extra bit, you know, for yours be the glory forever and ever, amen. They were added somewhere sort of towards the end of the first century, beginning of the second century. And they're great words. They're a nice thing to add to the end. But they're in neither of the originals in Matthew or in Luke. Now, this is the last line. And so we pray. This is how we ask God for help. We ask for his help. Ask him to deliver us. Second line. Now, I mean, you could say rescue, right? The word in the Greek for deliver is also rescue. You know, that idea, imagine you're bobbing around at sea and you need rescue from a lifeboat. That's what we need. We're struggling in this world to stay afloat with the devil and his lies. We need God's rescue. And particularly, we need rescue from his tempting tactics. Hence that first line, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us away, Lord, from the lies. Help us to see them. What are the lies that we are listening to, Lord? Show me. And then give me the strength to say no. No, it would not be good for me to shout at someone. No, there are consequences. We need to pray. And we need to ask for God's help, because like I said, it's not easy stuff. He's like a lion. I'm pretty sure I would stand no chance against a real lion. On our own, we don't stand much of a chance against the devil. And so we need to pray. You know, it's a bit like being on an actual battlefield and realizing we are totally surrounded. You know, they've got bigger guns, better armor, more cunning tactics. We need backup. We need a rescue. Well, wonderfully, God is the right person to ask. You know, he's a bit like a sort of a tank regiment coming to help us, or a humongous great big airstrike. He can help. God is with us. And he's the best person to turn to for help, right? Because not only, as we know from the Bible, he's got the power of the cosmos at his very fingertips. There's nothing he can't really do. But even more than that, and to give us confidence, God is the right person to ask because at the cross of Jesus Christ, God is victorious. That's what we've been thinking about all this morning, that God has the victory over sin, over death, and particularly over Satan. At the cross of Jesus, the devil is defeated. You see, the devil's great desire is that you and I are separated from God. That's what he fights for each day. That's why he tempts people. That's why he's peddling these lies after lie after lie to us. Because he doesn't want us to be anywhere near God. He wants to rip apart our relationship. But you know what? If you're a Christian here this morning, he can lie and tempt you as much as he possibly can. But if you're a Christian here this morning, if you're someone who has faith in Jesus, then you are united with Jesus. There is nothing that can separate you, we heard, from the love of God. No lie, no temptation, no amount of sin. Because the separation from God that you and I rightly deserve for disobeying God, for giving into temptation, well, Jesus has experienced that. He's taken that to the cross. He's been separated from his Father on our behalf. And so as we trust in him, you and I are united with God, united with Christ. There is nothing that can separate us. The devil can try all he likes, but God is victorious. And so he's 100% the right person to turn to. God really does have the power over Satan. And if he can have that victory, then he can help us. Even though the war is essentially over, the devil has lost. In the battles that still rage on, we can turn to God for help. Imagine how different your life might be if we turned to God more quickly. If daily we prayed this kind of prayer. If as we came into situations, we thought to ourselves, God, show me what are the lies that I am listening to. Imagine how our lives might be different. Imagine what patterns of behavior might change. Satan is real. Satan is roaming. Jesus thinks it's one of the top six or seven things that we need to pray about. So let's talk about it with him now. Let's begin that conversation by praying to him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the God of victory, that the devil is defeated, that there is nothing that can separate those who have faith in Christ from you. Please help us as the battle rages on. Help us by leading us away from temptation. Help us to see the devil's lies for what they are. Deliver us from the evil one, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.